Good morning. How's everyone? I'm Daniel Savage. I'm a lead program manager in the operations manager team. Very excited to be here presenting to you today on behalf of the operations manager product group. I'm presenting to you today with my esteemed colleague in a rather attractive pink shirt here, Joseph Chan, and Gordon McKenna, one of our MVPs. So first of all, kind of welcome. Thank you for taking the time to come to this session. We really do appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time to fill out Satya's surveys. And most importantly, thank you if you are using our product for investing in Operations Manager. We do really appreciate it. So how do we want to spend the next 75 minutes in this session? I want to talk a little bit about where we're at with 2012 R2. I want to talk to you about the value proposition, how we think about the investments we've made, and then I want to show you some of the new investments we made in the most recent wave, kind of a quick demo through those features. Then I want to switch it up and talk a little bit about what's coming next. And when I mean coming next, I mean what things can you expect to see from the Operations Manager product group over the next coming 3 months. And I want to show you some new stuff coming there. Then thirdly, we're going to play a little game. We call this Stump the Speakers. You can think of this as us moving the Q&A session into the middle of the session. We really do get value in the questions you ask, so we really want to make that core to the session that we're delivering to you this morning. And for added incentive, I do have some prizes for those who ask the best or the hardest question that we may not be able to answer. And I do have a lot of our developers here, so we hope we can answer your questions. And then lastly, yes, you will have to wait to the end for this. Joseph is going to come up and give you a tour around something new, a special announcement there. So we hope that you hang on to the end of the session to be able to go through that content. So let's start. And what I wanted to do is just kind of frame how we think about the operations manager business. And this is just to give you context on where we invest and why we invest. And when we look at what we do in operations manager, I really look through the lens of these three main items. What is the value do we provide to System Center as a whole suite? Owning the monitoring scenario, what value do we provide there? And to give you a bit of a context, I went and pulled some data out so you can understand, if you're thinking of deploying Operations Manager, what things you need to be aware of. The first thing is the adoption of the 2012 R2 wave. Our telemetry data tells us that almost 50% of our deployments out there are now 2012 R2. And this has just been rapid adoption since we shipped the R2 wave at the end of last year. So we thank you for that. The other thing is the amount of enterprises actually using it. We have a vast customer base using Operations Manager. We do believe now that we are the most widely deployed monitoring product, certainly for Windows and growing beyond that. So if you are looking to invest in Operations Manager, you should know you're in good company. With the 2012 R2 wave, we also believe we have features, capabilities, and scale to bring whole data centers under management. It's no longer simply about, can I use Operations Manager to manage my AD environment, or can I use Operations Manager to manage my Active Directory? We think that we can manage the whole data center. We believe that with the capabilities in R2, we can bring the whole data center under management. When getting pulled into conversations with us saying, okay, I have 40,000 servers. How do I manage that whole estate? The other thing, and it's just not about Windows. We have reference customers, the 9,000, 12,000 there. That's 9,000 Windows servers and 12,000 Unix and Linux. Our ability to monitor heterogeneous platforms at scale is now core to the 2012 products. If you're looking to monitor things that are outside of Windows, we do have references for that. The next thing we think about is the value we can provide through cloud innovation. In the 2012 SP1 through R2 wave, we looked at how we can attach services, cloud innovation, to Operations Manager. And we have two main services currently available for you to consume. The first one is Global Service Monitor, GSM. This is the ability to do availability monitoring of your web applications and properties from data centers that we own. So infrastructure, you do not have to stand up or support to monitor your applications. This is something that is integrated into Operations Manager as an attached service. The second service that we attached and made it integral into Operations Manager is the advisor service. And in 2012 R2 Wave, you will see that advisor is core to the product. The ability to do best practice configurations of your environment across the Microsoft workloads, again, providing value to you. Now, these are important because these cloud solutions enable us to provide value to you faster. So you will continue to see us making investments where we do not affect what you're doing in your on-premise product, so we keep that stable, and then we go provide value to you through these cloud solutions. And the third area, something that I kind of focus on very heavily, is what we do with our partners, both internal and external to Microsoft. And there's really four main areas, and it starts with management packs. I've owned the management pack space and operations manager for going on 2 years now. And that is a constant effort to improve the quality and the depth of the management packs that we offer to you. So we have, I think, over 200 management packs available covering the Microsoft workloads, and we continue to make these available to you as we ship updated products from Microsoft. The other area, what we've done in the past year in the 2012 R2 wave, is work with a couple of very close partners to go and work together on scenarios. So this is where we lean in with a partner and say, we need you to stand up and support this particular scenario. The two examples that I'm giving you today are Silect, MP Author. Now this, you would have seen in a session this morning, this is the tool, the go-to tool for IT professionals like yourself to author management packs. We work very closely with Silect and will continue to in the future to develop capabilities in that product. So if you have Operations Manager, you should be getting MP Author, which is a free tool for everyone to use. And you should be also looking at the additional capabilities that Silect provide in their MP Studio to manage MP lifecycle. The other partner that we've been working very closely with is BlueStripe to provide application transaction monitoring. And I really think about three scenarios when I think about BlueStripe. If you're looking at doing migrations of your virtualization platform, and you need to understand the dependencies of applications before and after that migration, you should be talking to BlueStripe. If you're looking at hybrid cloud and Azure, and you want to ensure that you're mapping out dependencies there, particularly as your application is crossing data center boundaries, again, BlueStripe is something that you should look at. And the third one is if you're responsible for managing applications which are either off the shelf or you do not have access to the code, that is the third area where BlueStripe can help you. So I encourage you to visit them and have a chat about what they have on offer. So they're just two examples of how we pick a scenario and we work with a partner for that, and you're going to see us do that across more scenarios in the future. And then last is the System Center Alliance. The System Center Alliance has a breadth of partners available filling monitoring scenarios across the board. Drink of water. So before I get into the demo, can I ask who's not using Operations Manager? Okay. So this slide's for you. This is just to give you a breadth of what's actually in Operations Manager now. And myself and Joe sat down and said, okay, well, let's list all the features. And it took us kind of quite a while to put this slide together. But this is what I mean when we talk about being able to monitor the whole data center, because we have these capabilities. So everything for what you'd expect, infrastructure monitoring, Windows, Unix, Linux, and we added in 2012 the ability to monitor the network layer as well, and more importantly, attach that network layer to your servers so you can understand the dependencies. Application monitoring, the Babel if you're working in DevOps and want to do APM across .NET and Java. Synthetic transactions, ability to probe applications and understand whether or not they're available. And the 2012 R2 wave, we made a bigger investment in what we do with fabric monitoring to really understand when working, if you're using Virtual Machine Manager, how your fabric's performing. Then we go over to the right-hand side and we look at the workloads. I talked about these management packs. Every Microsoft workload should have a management pack that you can rely on to monitor your environment. Systems integration in the middle here. We connect to multiple systems, not just the Microsoft stack, but if you whatever your ticketing system be, whether it be something like BMC Remedy or you're using NetCool, Operations Manager can connect to that and be core to your environment. So I just wanted to put this up there, so if you're not using Operations Manager, this gives you a snapshot and a feel for it. So the ones that I've highlighted here, this is what I'm going to demo to you, just to give you a feel for what's in the 2012 R2 wave of products, and this will just be a quick fly through of that. So let me move to the demo now. So those of you who are not using Operations Manager, this is the Operations Manager console. We have a monitoring pane down the left, which contains all the folders for the things we're monitoring, and then most of the detail will appear in the middle. I'm going to start by looking at what we did in 2012 R2 with regards to creating better visibility for your fabric and cloud coming from Virtual Machine Manager. So I'm going to go to the start with the Cloud Health Dashboard. Now, when you're using Virtual Machine Manager or you're using any virtualization fabric, we're creating a cloud, which is a unit of capacity. What we did in Operations Manager is to create a very simple view that allows you to understand, is my cloud working correctly? In this case, no. What its capacity is, how much is running on there. So you get a very easy snapshot. And what I can do is I can drill into this to get further details about the compute, storage, and network that forms part of my cloud. So you see here, we have the compute state and what state it's in. This one's under a bit of memory pressure here because I've created a lot of VMs just for demo purposes. So this is what we added in 2012 R2. The second part of what we did with relates to clouds and fabrics was really expanding our support for Azure. And there's two things I want to talk about today. One is a supported configuration for running Operations Manager on Azure. Now, in the past, we used to special case Azure and say, yeah, you can use Azure, you can use Operations Manager to monitor virtual machines in Azure, but we're not so sure about running Operations Manager in Azure. So I just want to clarify for you this morning that we now treat Azure as any other set of resources. So if you want to run OM in Azure and can meet the supported configurations and meet our scale requirements, you can run OM there, either to monitor machines in Azure or outside of Azure. So technically, it becomes like any other data center that you want to put OM into. So just to clarify that. The other thing that we did is actually for monitoring resources in Azure. So I have an Azure management pack here. This was updated with the 2012 R2 wave that allows you enterprises to discover and monitor the key things that you care about in Azure, which are typically cloud services, virtual machines, and storage. So here I have my cloud services, my discovered storage, and my discovered virtual machines, which I actually have monitoring. I'm actually monitoring my OM deployment that is actually running in Azure at the moment, which I'll show you a little bit later. The thing with the Azure MP that's kind of different in the value that we provide is that we can understand how Azure resources talk to each other. We can create this graph so you can understand how cloud services are talking to storage or to other resources there. So this is something we natively discover, so you don't have to build this yourself. You can understand what's going on. The other thing in talking about Azure that we see a lot of people using is using SQL Azure. There's a SQL Azure management pack. You can see here Windows Azure SQL Database. We're able to monitor the database states of things that I'm running, the databases I'm running in Azure. Again, providing very simple visualizations to understand the health of these DBs. I have two DBs, small 1 gig DBs running in Azure. You can get that. The third Azure asset, and again, I'm focusing on what we see are some of the key IT pro enterprise scenarios that you expect to monitor, is monitoring Hadoop. So very recently, we shipped a management pack to allow you to monitor HD Insight clusters in Operations Manager. So here I have the management pack template for Microsoft HD Insight, and I'll just show you how that configuration works so you get a feel for that. Let's give it a name. I'm not going to create this, but the one thing I wanted to point out is this Ambari URI. So if you know Hadoop and you're using it, they have a management layer called Ambari, which allows you to monitor it. So we just connect to that running on HD Insight in Azure, and that is supported. The thing to note is you can actually use that for any Hadoop cluster running anywhere. We only support HD Insight. That doesn't prevent you going and using it on some other deployment. Okay, so that's the advisor section. The next thing I wanted to talk about was how we integrated the Cloud Service Advisor into Operations Manager. So I'm in the administration pane here, which is how you configure OM, and we have this tab called System Center Advisor. This is here when you install Operations Manager 2012 R2, and it is super simple to set up connected. You simply log in with your account and create a connection, and then simply add the computers that you want to manage to Azure. What will happen is then we will download a set of management packs that go and validate the best practice configuration, which is information that comes from our support team. These are rules that we have learned that our support team understand how our workload, SQL, SharePoint, Exchange need to be run, and they author them from there. We load them into OM and then provide you alerts in the console, which you can then subscribe to understand whether your servers are performing correctly or not. You see, these are the alerts, so you see some of the details of what we provide. So for example, I'm missing a KB update here. We get the alert properties native in OM. And the most important thing is the promise that the advisor makes is to back all of this information with a KB. So when you get an alert that says I'm missing some update or you need to configure something this way, you're going to get a solution article that tells you how to go and resolve that problem. So as best practice configuration, you can almost think about it as kind of being proactive in your monitoring environment as well. Right, so the next thing I want to show you is something that shipped very recently, and that is, let me find that. Give me a second. Actually, I'm going to change environments here. So here I am. This is actually my deployment running in Azure. Just I've switched across there. Just to give you context of what we now ship for SQL 14. So SQL 14 shipped recently. The management pack is now available for you to monitor your SQL 14 instances. The one thing that we've done with the SQL management pack is there's a lot of boutique tools out there that provide rich visualization just around SQL and its databases. So we want to provide the same type of experience in Operations Manager, but we want to be able to offer more value because we can monitor the whole infrastructure around SQL Server. So here we have a dashboard. I'll just expand out here. That provides you a rich visualization about the databases I'm currently monitoring. So here you see these dashboards that allow you to quickly understand what is going on my databases. So if your DBA is out there and you want to use Operations Manager, this is a great tool for you. That's the database summary view. And then we have an instance summary dashboard as well. Which pulls out the DB engines and again provides rich visualization. So you can see the monitoring we're providing for SQL Server. And again, this is in context. So I will get details about the underlying infrastructure as well. And if I'm monitoring applications that talk to this, I can bring this all together. Okay, again, so this is just new. It's available on our catalog for you to download now. The last demo in the 2012 R2 wave I want to go to is the new widgets we shipped. So in the 2012 wave, we shipped this new dashboarding capabilities, which allow you to create rich visualizations in Operations Manager that work both in our console, in our web console, and something that you can put into SharePoint as well, so you can take Operations Manager data and surface it out to people who want to see it. Part of these dashboard infrastructure was what we called a set of widgets. Now, widgets you can think of are building blocks to create visualizations. And in 2012, we shipped 4, 5 maybe of them to kind of get you started. Now, with the 2012 R2 wave, and actually what shipped with our most recent update, UR2, we shipped a much bigger widget library for you to create these rich visualizations. So let me show you some of these visualizations which are now available. The first thing I'm going to do is just going to create a new dashboard. And I'm in the monitoring pane here. Let me create that. This is just going to create a blank dashboard that we can then fill up with widgets to create visualizations. So we add a widget. So here you see now the list of widgets that are available. So this is a much bigger list. And we really broke it down into three categories of widgets that we added. Things that are about objects. So creating visualizations around objects and instances, particularly in how do we condense information down. So we have a set of widgets that are tiles. So tiles that actually change and update the data and really condense down what you want to be able to view. We have a set of contextual widgets as well. Now, contextual widgets allow you to create navigation so you can actually browse through objects within the dashboard. And then lastly, a set of extensibility widgets. These are widgets that are primarily based on PowerShell, so you can very easily write PowerShell and then create visualizations within OM to view that. So that's what I want to show you. So first of all, so these are just the widgets. Let me go back to here. Let's talk about them. First of all, what we have up here is an image widget. Very attractive picture of Brad there that I grabbed from the TechEd website. Just think of this as a way to brand your dashboard. So if you're writing dashboards and you want to show off your team name or your company name, you can have a dashboard image on your dashboard that kind of shows that off. Here we have one of the tile widgets that are available. So this is a state tile widget. It's looking at all my Windows computers, and you can see we get the roll up of the state, and we're getting a count of alerts as well. And you'll see the arrow telling me whether I'm trending up or down based on the time period I've chosen. So it's here where we're kind of trending down, and I've got one new within the last hour that I need to investigate. You notice at the bottom I have this contextual alerts widget, and there's nothing there. What I need to do is actually choose something to power that widget. So when I select on this tile here, what you'll see is the contextual alert widget now populate with data. We have a contextual widget both for alerts, for state, and health. So you can create these visualizations that allow you to drive between the content. Let me show you some of the power that we can actually do with the PowerShell widgets as well to create some visualization. So let me go back to this one here. And I'm going to add a widget. I'm going to add the PowerShell grid widget. I'm going to grab a script. Paste this in here. This is a very simple PowerShell script that basically goes and gets the class Windows computer, enumerates all the computers of that class, and then goes and gets the health state details, the display name, and then creates a custom column. So what I'm really doing here, and something you should take away, is I'm using PowerShell to shape my own data to visualize within OM. So if you're proficient in PowerShell, you can use the OM PowerShell layer to bring data together. For example, I may want to grab health state of an object, combine it with some performance data, and then visualize it within a PowerShell grid. So it gives you the power to shape that data yourself. So let me show you how that would look once it's created. Let that run. So there you go. So very simple grid with a display name, and then I have a custom column here. That's just to show you that I'm getting data outside it. But what I can also do is I can use this widget to drive another widget with another piece of PowerShell. So let me add another one to this mix. Add another PowerShell grid. I'm going to grab my second script. So this one, something for you to take note on, is here I have this param global selected items. If you want to use the context of something else on the dashboard, so I click on the computer name I had in the top, and then go and run another PowerShell, you have this parameter. Basically, when I click on something, it gets populated into this parameter that I can use later. So basically, I'm taking those what was selected on the dashboard and running an additional PowerShell to go and get the contained objects. So let me create that, and I'll show you how that works. So here we go. So I've selected this machine. So when I select another machine, it'll run that PowerShell and see there it's enumerating all the contained objects within the one at the top. So again, very rich, very powerful for you to go and build up the visualizations of how you want to explore the monitoring data in OM. The next one I want to show you is how you can actually use the PowerShell extensibility to go get data from an external system. So if you have other applications that you want to pull data in about that have monitoring data, or you want to actually create your own visualizations of OM by writing, say, a web application, you can use the PowerShell web browser for that. So let me quickly show you how that works, just to give you a feel for some of the things that are possible. I'll create a new view here. Just create that quickly. So new to, what I'm going to do first is I'm just going to add a list of alerts. I'm going to add an alert widget. It's just going to give me a list of all the alerts in the system. I'm going to display everything but closed. Okay, and the scenario I want to do here is I want to use OM and the power of this extensible widget to go and get more data about these alerts. So I'm going to add a cell here, and what I'm going to do is using the PowerShell web browser widget, I'm going to take what was selected. I'm going to take the alert that was selected, and I'm going to run a Bing search against the alert title to get more data about it. So here's the script, and these samples will all be made available for you to kind of start trying out after the session. So next, create. So here we have Bing here. And what happens is when I select an alert, we take the alert title, and we build a query string for Bing so we can return some data about it. Now, this could be any external system. It's just to give you an example of how you can tie together multiple applications in OM. Let me pull up another demo here just to give you an idea. Here's another example where I have a state tiles widget. And what I've done is I've actually created a web application, which really, what happens when I select an item in this particular script, it basically grabs the selected items and does a post to that web application. So it creates a JSON object and posts it out to the web application. And all I'm doing in this very simple application, which is a couple of lines of JavaScript, is create a visualization. So if you're proficient in kind of web technologies and want to build your own visualizations, that's capable here. All I've done here is just created a very simple heat map of all the databases in my system so I can very easily see what's going on. The thing you'll note is it is contextual as well. So even though this is an external web application, it's still built into OM, so I get the rich capabilities that are available there. Okay, so that was a quick tour of some of the new things available in 2012 R2. This is all available for you to use and consume now. So I advise you to go and do that. So with that, I'm going to ask Gordon to come up, and he's just going to share very quickly, and Gordon does like to talk, so I'm using the term very quickly, talk to you about a couple of customers he's been working with and what they're doing with Operations Manager.
Thanks, Daniel. Much appreciated. So, hi, everybody. First of all, just want to thank Daniel and the team for asking me to come up and talk today. I have just got 2 minutes to talk to you, so if you see Shepherd's Cook come on and drag me off the stage, you know what's happening. I've gone over my 2 minutes. My name's Gordon McKenna. I'm a System Center Cloud and Data Center Management MVP. In my 10th year as an MVP, so kind of been working around the product for quite a long time now. Background-wise, I've been working with Operations Manager probably for nigh on about 15, 16 years now. I used to work for a Houston-based company called Mission Critical Software, originally developed the product, and I've been very fortunate to kind of work with the product ever since. So I've seen it go from being a very up-and-coming contender to the crown to being what I see today, heavyweight, undisputed heavyweight monitoring champion of the world. So I run an SI out of the UK, so I'm out in the field working with customers, kind of putting in monitoring to meet individual needs. And I'm just going to talk about a couple today, really, that we're kind of working with or have been working with over a couple of days to tell you how people are actually using it. So we work with a company in the UK called EasyJet. Some of you may have heard of it. It's the fastest growing low-cost airline in Europe. So the company's been doing extremely well. They've been growing and expanding. And you know, we've been providing them with services around monitoring. And for about the last 3 years, they've been using Operations Manager for their day-to-day functions. That's covering everything from their e-commerce operation all the way through to their flight and booking systems and baggage handling software and things like that. So it's been going extremely well. EasyJet are also a big user of Microsoft Azure. So their main e-commerce application, certain functions within that application sit within Azure. So we actually use SCOM to manage their hybrid e-commerce application. So we have seamless views of their application from their on-premise infrastructure all the way through to their cloud-based infrastructure. So that's really important for them to be able to use it in that way, to be able to see the application end-to-end. We also have lots of custom dashboards and MPs. At Infomon, we love dashboards, and we love kind of creating custom MPs that can display those dashboards. So, you know, I think we've been responsible for forcing the company into putting up many plasma screens around the office. And, you know, what we try to do with the dashboards is make them very context sensitive to the applications that we're running. So what are we going to be doing next? So we're looking at implementing something called 360-degree monitoring with EasyJet now. So that's using APM. Their main e-commerce application is .NET. So it's using things like APM to be able to look at the code versus infrastructure level, using synthetic transactions from Global Service Monitor to do the performance and availability of the front end, and actually tying that all together with the individual infrastructure that they have both in their private cloud and their public cloud. We're also looking at doing some attach with Advisor as well. I'm not going to talk too much about that because Joe's going to come up and I don't want to steal his thunder because he'll be quite upset at me. But we're looking at doing Advisor for attach as well with that. So it's been really, really successful and we're continuing to grow and we're looking at new ways. Some of the things they're asking me for now, they want to do things like sentiment analysis, which is quite a new thing. So they want to kind of look at check-ins at airport and bringing in weather analysis. So I'm kind of hoping those kind of things we're going to be able to provide to them. And Daniel showed you some ways today that you can use PowerShell to pull in that kind of information as well. So the second, an example. This is a kind of dashboard that we created. So this is just a mock-up of one that we did with them in the original day. But this actually shows number of kind of seats that they sell per minute. And we actually used SQL reporting services to display this. So these are actually some widgets that are available in SQL reporting services. And we embed this in a web page within SCOM, and then we put it up on plasma screens. So just to give you an example of some of the kind of dashboard type stuff that we're doing. Second customer I want to talk quickly about is one you might have heard of, Transport for London. They provide all of the buses and trains and transport infrastructure around London. We implemented SCOM about 18 months ago, and this was in particular for a new project. So Transport for London are doing a groundbreaking project where they're replacing all of the Oyster card points, which is the way that you kind of pay for your transport around London. They're replacing them with NFC readers or in the process of that. So we actually put in SCOM to manage that infrastructure that they're deploying to allow them to kind of look at that. We've integrated it with Service Manager as well. So they use a CMDB and Service Manager at the back end to be able to kind of put all of the data in about the devices. Again, lots of dashboards. Dashboards are king with them. So we've got lots of visualization of where the readers are, where they're going wrong. And also, this was the first customer that we implemented SCOM on SQL Always On. So some of you all may or may not be aware, but you can kind of use SQL Always On behind System Center now. So we work quite closely with Daniel and his team around kind of working out how the best way to implement this. And now we've got a very highly available option. Transport for London were one of the early adopters of SQL Always On. So it was important for them that we were able to put the product in and use those high availability features. And to give you an idea of the kind of dashboard screens that we did for them, again, this was kind of a mock-up that I did with them. But this is a tube map of London. And actually what we've got is each of the tube stations with a little ticks on. You know, and we used a combination of Civision, live maps, some of you might have heard of, for doing this. And kind of they're also looking at doing bits in Visy as well. But the idea of this is that the tube station or the reader in the tube station goes red. They double click on the link. And then we've actually got floor maps of the actual tube station so that they can see where the readers are and they can identify and then where an engineer has to go to fix it. So again, effective use of SCOM for real-world business problems and business needs. All right, thanks, Daniel. Thank you. 2 minutes.
Love that stuff. That's great. Am I on? Yep. All right, so let's talk about... I want to give you an insight of some of the things that are coming and really kind of frame... where we're going to be making investments so you get an idea of how things are coming together. And I think about monitoring, I'm really thinking, looking across three separate things. First of all, operations manager, what we deliver in the product to you and how we innovate on what is a very comprehensive system. What we do in advisor, and as Gordon says, Joe will come up and talk to you a little bit about that nearer the end. And then application insights as well. If you don't know what application insights is, Application Insights comes out of the Visual Studio team, and it's really the next generation of how you do APM in a DevOps world. So we'll be looking at how that attaches again to Operations Manager for creating that holistic visibility. So within Operations Manager itself, the investments we will make, you see them down the left-hand side, enterprise-grade monitoring, scalability, and reliability. Our promise to you is that we will continue to support and make sure that Operations Manager works consistently well within your environment. We will continue to look at scale requirements of how we expand that out. We will look at upgrade. The one thing that we've learned from 2007 R2 to 2012 R2 is that that's what most of your people are now moving from, to. So when you put a monitoring system in, it typically stays there and provides value for a good period of time. But we want to provide innovation and value to you as well. So we want to think about how we can make our upgrade process simpler, both for what we do in update roll-ups and fixes and how we deliver value to you. Continuing to enhance our management pack catalog. So we will continue to look at how people are using Azure, particularly this audience, and we will continue to make investments to ensure you get that visibility in OM. How many are using Office 365? Okay, so we know that we need to provide a management pack for that, and I'm going to give you a brief glimpse of that management pack in a second, and that'll be made available very soon. And we'll continue to enhance our heterogeneous monitoring by adding value for monitoring open source, particularly the LAMP stack within OM. And as you see on the right-hand side, we will continue to drive cloud innovation through things like Advisor and Application Insights to provide value to you on an ongoing basis. So let me give you a quick demo of what's coming soon. And when I say soon, what I'm going to show you is going to be available within probably the next 4 to 6 weeks. And I'm going to start with how we continue to make it better to the Better Together story with Virtual Machine Manager by showing you a set of dashboards we're creating to really kind of drive root cause for troubleshooting problems with virtual machines and virtual machine hosts. So here we have, first of all, Virtual Machine Manager dashboard. So this is an extension to VMM that provides very rich visualizations of what's going on with my compute infrastructure. So here we have on the right-hand side a heat map that is searchable across properties. If I can remember the name of my VMs. Okay. So it allows me, if someone phones up with a problem with a VM, I can run a search, narrow that down, and can I easily understand? And I can click on these. These are all contextual. And what you'll see is that it drives the rest of the visualization within the dashboard. Here on the right is we have all the tiles that give me the host that that's running on. So think of this as like a 360 around that object. It tells me what's going on. So that's the VM dashboard. The next pivot on that is if I want to start by looking at the hosts themselves. So this is the information coming from VMM, as I said, which looks at the hosts. So here we have the host. We've got rich visualization to help me understand that scale. We have the VMs loaded on that. And then we have a lot of the tiles that kind of really condense that information in. This will be available, as I said, within 4 to 6 weeks in preview, so you can all try it out. The next one I want to show you is the management pack for Office 365. So this has been a huge ask, getting a lot of requests for this. How do I monitor, understand whether the service I'm consuming from Office 365 is available? So we've been working with the Office 365 team in a way that we can do that in a very supported way that scales with Office 365. And this is just a brief glimpse of the MP coming together. I mean, this is in middle of development. I got a build last night to be able to show it to you today. Basically, what we're going to do is allow you to connect to multiple subscriptions. We'll have monitors that test whether the login is successful. So if you're using things like ADFS integrated with Office 365, it will give you a hint as to whether that's working or not. So validate the subscriptions up and healthy. Then using their service status API, we're able to pull out for your subscription all the services you're consuming. So here, they will be listed here. And what will appear eventually in this middle box is the state associated with them. So whether they're running correctly or not. And then lastly, Office 365 published two main things. They publish incidents or information about what's happening in the environment. These will be consumed as alerts in Operations Manager. So you will be able to subscribe to whether there is service impacting incidents with your Office 365 environment. And they have this thing called the Message Center. That is a way for Office 365 to communicate with you about what's going on, whether new things are being added or things that you can do to make sure that you're running correctly. So again, this will come out in preview in about 4 to 6 weeks, something for you to try, and we look forward to your feedback. The third thing I wanted to show you coming soon is we talked about the management pack for SQL 14 being available. The next set of questions I get around that is, when can I run my Ops Manager infrastructure on SQL 14? So this is my instance running in Azure on SQL 14. So we've already done the testing and validation for OM on SQL 14. We will likely make the supported announcement around this around the next update roll-up timeframe, just so you know what you need to be on. But that is coming soon, so you should be able to consume that. Okay. Right, so here's what we're going to do now. As I said, we're going to take a quick 10-minute interlude for you to ask some questions based on the content we've covered. I'm going to ask Gordon and Joe to come up here quickly for questions. Charlie at the front can walk around on mic. And as I said, I do have prizes for the best of the hardest question. And then we'll get on to the special announcement that Joe wants to share with you. He's been itching to share with you. And by the way, can we have a round of applause for his rather attractive pink shirt? Okay, who wants to go first? There we go. Okay, mic over here. Thank you very much. Oh. You go then.
Hello. Okay.
So the NT service state monitor has been changed from Operations Manager 2007 to 2012.
So has it changed?
It has changed, yeah. So while in 2007, it would get a state change within a minute if a service stopped.
Okay.
But it works differently in 2012. Can you explain?
In what way does it work differently? It doesn't alert within a minute? I don't believe the configuration has changed.
It has been changed.
Okay.
Yeah, so you will get a state change and an alert. Between 2 and 5 minutes.
Okay.
So what's changed then?
So I don't believe, and I'm looking at my team, that anything has changed. It seems like that maybe there's an issue we need to go and investigate, so we'll take that feedback back.
Yeah.
I'll come and grab my card at the end, and I'll get you a response afterwards. But I don't believe it should have changed. So okay. I don't believe we touched anything in that area on the 2012 release. So, but great okay. question. Thank you. Thank you for going first.
Hi.
Hi.
In the Operation Manager console, in the part that's my workspace, if I create a view, a chart, or list, or state view, in which management pack is this saved?
When you're in my workspace and you create a view or some type of view in my workspace, in which management pack is that saved? That's a good question. Eugene? So it's not saved in any management pack, it's actually saved in the database. Answer your question? Okay. I'm going to go to this guy up here in the middle. Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. My question actually revolves around what you're talking about with Office 365 monitoring.
Yep.
We currently don't do an ADFS implementation. We actually use a DirSync.
Okay.
Is there any support for monitoring using the DirSync function versus ADFS?
So monitoring DirSync versus ADFS. So what I showed you is actually logging into Office 365.
Okay.
So it's basically inferring that your DirSync and your ADFS are working for that to happen.
Understood.
But we're not doing direct monitoring of ADFS or DirSync. We have an ADFS management pack. DirSync, I don't know.
I think that's covered by the ADFS. There's a bit covered, in the ADFS management pack that covers
covered in the ADFS management pack. So with both of them, you should get that visibility.
Excellent. Thank you.
Over here. And then.
Event correlation.
Is there
in the future state?
Is there any event correlation in the future state?
Sit tight. Wait for the special announcement.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Great question.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. I look at the dashboard views very frequently in SCOM, especially when we manage the storage around it.
Okay.
So what I want to understand is, can we remove the silo between the dashboard view and the alerts? Right. For example, can I see the health state in dashboard view and right-click and go back to see what's the alert because of which the dashboard view health state shows warning or critical?
Yeah, absolutely.
They are quite siloed right now.
With the new widgets, you can do that in context. So I'd be able to click on the health state of an object and have another widget just subscribe and pull back the alerts for that object.
I was referring to the dashboard or topology view, not the widgets.
The dashboard topology view for?
Or the diagram view, sorry.
Oh, the diagram view. So no, but you can recreate whatever topology you want in a widget. We have a topology widget that I didn't show you today, so you can use a topology widget and then drive context to actually pull back alerts. Okay. Make sense? If you want to come back after the session, I can show you.
Trust us on this.
You can do it. Yeah, that's absolutely possible with the new widgets. We're able to do that. I'm going to go up to the mic up here.
Yes. I do have a question. This is more kind of like an infrastructure standpoint. It's we currently right now running SCOM 2007 R2, and we are in the process of upgrading right now. Mm-hmm. And I know you said that you implemented a different customers. I just try to find out some tricks, advice, or gotchas that we have to kind of be aware of when we're doing the upgrade. And also, I have another question as well. I know that SCOM works really well with VMware, but also I'm a VMware customer, and I know that in 2007 R2, it's been kind of like limited the visibility that I have to my environment in VMware. Are there any changes as far as the management pack on this new release?
So let me take the first question
real
quick regarding upgrade. So so first of all, we're in the Calig third release for 2012 right now. So 2012 R2 is the latest version that we have. And every time when we release an update to our 2012 release, We update the documentation as well. So I would encourage you to visit our upgrade documentation because, you know, we have tried to capture a lot of the learnings that we've seen from the 2007 upgrade to 2012. And every time we hit something new, we try to update that. And then that is the first place that you need to go to because, you know, there are a lot of different environments, different conditions. So it's kind of impossible to list them all in kind of like in a 1 minute time frame. So go to that really quickly. Now, Gordon has been looking intensely at me wanting to say something.
Just on that, you know, just, you know, what Joe said, look at the documentation. There are some quite big changes in the architecture between 2007 and 2012. So if you have a lot of infrastructure and a lot of different data center locations, you need to be looking at that because there's some requirements around where we have our management servers in conjunction with our databases. So it might well be that if you've got a lot of management servers about in data centers with low latency, you may well have to flip them into gateway servers and centralize your infrastructure. So those would be the things that I would be looking at because we now have this concept of a management server resource pool rather than kind of just the old RMS server that you've got in 2007. The second thing about the management packs is one of the things that the team were really keen to do in between 2007 and 2012 was not change that management pack infrastructure. So you will see 2012 management packs that have new 2012 features, but the underlying XML or management pack infrastructure has not changed between 2007 and 2012, apart from the addition of new features. So most of your investment that you've made around overrides on existing management packs, you'll be able to keep. So that should make that transition from a management pack point of view very easy for you, yeah?
Okay. And your second part was about management of ESX, was that right?
Correct.
Yeah, so we have a partner solution for that. We don't have anything natively out of the box. If you look up, I think there's multiple partners that deliver that.
There's about three out there.
There's about three partners that do it. Veeam comes to mind, obviously.
OpsLogic. And Bridgeways.
Yeah. So there's three partners, obviously, providing competitive solutions for monitoring ESX. So check them out. I think they're all here. Thank you.
The display on the rich visualization on dashboards is a great expansion on Eugene's work from last session. When are we going to be able to put more people than 50 into the console?
Good question. So I would argue that you would never, you would struggle to get 50 concurrent connections of a users. And I have some math to prove this. And it's an interesting topic. I'm actually thinking about doing a blog on it. Because to actually get 50 concurrent users during a period of time is actually pretty hard.
Well,
so
it's a deeper question to the performance of the OMDB limiting SCOM.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is based on the workflows, I mean, typically, how many people have 50 OM consoles open at once? Chevron, right? Yeah.
can I jump in on that?
So, yeah, I agree with you. I think that is a great question. I'm going to write a blog on some of my thinking around that. But, I mean, our UX will evolve, right? Joe's going to talk about some things. And so there will be things that we will make that obviously evolves beyond that limit. We'll have to look at that. So Right. Stay tuned for that.
And just to jump on that, one thing that I've got a very big management group, a very big set of management groups in the UK, about 60,000 servers that I'm working on with a customer. And one way that we've looked to mitigate those SDK connections is putting stuff into SharePoint from a widget point of view, because that's one connection to the SDK from SharePoint, and then you can build out a good widget view, and that's kind of, then people connect to SharePoint rather than connecting to SCOM. So that's kind of one good way that you can kind of look at to maybe kind of scale that out a little bit.
My question was meant to be a polite way of addressing the OMDB performance.
Okay. Feedback's valid. So here's, I want to make sure we've got time for Joe. We're going to take this question and the two up here, and then we'll get on to Joe's announcement. So, hi.
Hey, I got two questions for you.
Sure.
First of all, I don't think things have changed in 2012 for connected management groups. As you know, we use smart cards, smart badges, so you can get into one. When you get into the other, you have to have user ID password, which we don't have.
Yeah.
Questions, thoughts about...
Yeah, you're right. It hasn't changed. It works as is. I don't have a good answer for how you do that differently than what you're currently doing.
I'm talking about plans, yes.
Yeah, I think we need to look at scale and management, scale in general, and how we monitor things and how we do scale out there. So I think it's something we have to address. I don't have anything specific to share, though.
Okay, second question is, we have a pretty disciplined management pack lifecycle, build it in dev, go to test, put it into prod, multiple prod groups.
Yeah.
So with the widgets, at least the last time I looked at it, that breaks our lifecycle unless you have a different method or recommendation. So we put them in dev, test, prod. We're not building through the console. Thoughts?
So the issue, so you have the question you're stating, you have an MP lifecycle.
Right.
Where you develop and test applications.
Using the SDK.
Okay.
Not going, you know, into the SCOM console and building a little widget and prod.
Okay. I think that's a longer answer. Come and grab my card and we can talk about what the options may be for that.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Let's go back here. We'll do two more and then we'll get on to Joe.
We use the subscription alerts quite heavily for a lot of different departments and groups in our company. While it works well for the small departments that only need alerts around certain systems and OUs and based on or management packs, for somebody like myself who gets the alerts for everybody, I would like to exclude certain OUs or management packs or groups. Right now, there's no good way, at least that I understand, to exclude specific classes in a subscription. I basically have to go in and highlight all of them except the ones that I want. Is it possible somehow to exclude a specific class or group or management pack in an alert subscription?
A class. So why can't you do that in the groups itself? There's exclusion rule in the dynamic groups.
I know I've tried that. I've looked quite a bit in that, but I wasn't ever able to basically have a group that contains everything, but then excludes, say, one OU in Active Directory or one particular management pack.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit offline afterwards, but I think your answer lies somewhere in dynamic group definitions, the membership definition there, and you use that to drive, you keep your notification rules pretty clean there and just attach it to a group, and that's the scope in which you control the notification. That's where I believe the answer lies. So I need to understand a little bit more about what objects you're trying to get in there to get that answer in detail. But I think it's going to be longer than a few minutes. And I really want to save some time to announce the stuff. But come afterwards, and we'll chat. Okay.
Last question, and then we'll.
This is more of a disclaimer of a depends question. But okay. I wanted to sort of give you a sort of a question that is relevant as far as being unified across multiple tier of technology is disk alert or capacity alert. And there's an excellent couple of monitors for like CPU and memory to sort of provide you what is your top offending processes that's causing it. For virtualization, you have storage that you may have a capacity. What will be your top offending virtual machines? Mm. Sort of to cut down the level of troubleshooting, as well as from an OS technology layer, what is the offending storage drive? And then from SQL, what is the offending database? Mm. All right. When you get that threshold, to get that report of that sort of, not a recovery, but sort of a diagnostic, is unified on all three tiers, all three technologies that I just explained.
Yeah.
But it depends because of doing a script on the OS, it all depends on how big that storage, that C drive is, how many folders, to get sort of the top level folders, just so the operator can start doing his investigation.
Yep.
Cutting down that time is very powerful.
Yeah. I think that's great feedback. I think let's let Joe talk, and then let's see if we'd answer that. Right. So we're going to move on. That's great. That's a great point. I did say I had prizes. So the guy who went first, the guy who's doing the upgrade, and the guy who asked about the SDK, come and see me after, and I got something for you. Joe?
Okay, all right, that was the longest 60 minutes I've ever lived because I've been dying to tell you what this announcement is all about. So, even though I want to tell you this first, I need to clear up this pink shirt thing that is annoying me like since the beginning of the session. So here's the story, okay? Our rock star program manager here, Satya Vail, has been talking about what we should wear at the conference. And he sent around this stupid mail about saying we should all wear white shirt and blue jeans. And Daniel came to me and said, like, why should the two of us look like them, like a bunch of waiter and waitresses, right? So let's wear pink. And pink is Daniel's favorite color, okay? Every 1 hour, 3 days, he wear pink to work. And so, you know, just being a good teammate and good team member, I said, okay, I'll wear pink with you. And so here I am, this traitor now left me stranded alone with the pink shirt. So that was the backstory, okay? All right, so on to the main thing. So earlier in today's session, Daniel was telling you that we intend to continue to deliver value to you through attached services. And that's a great way in which we can deliver value to you because we keep your investment, the on-premise the monitoring infrastructure, very stable. And in a decoupled fashion, we can attach services to your environment and deliver value to you in a very agile and flexible way. And so one of these attached services is System Center Advisor, which my team works on. Last year at the Microsoft Management Summit, I announced the Advisor Connector for Ops Manager, which allows you to attach the advisor service to your on-premise ops manager deployment. And that allows you to perform configuration assessment against the machine that you manage in your management group. The reception has been good. Many of you are taking advantage of that service that we've provided. Now, on our side, with the attached channel now enabled, we've been working hard. We've been working really hard to enable a whole new set of powerful capabilities delivered to you from the cloud. And so, with great pleasure today, I'm announcing the limited public preview of the next generation System Center Advisor service that is immediately available. So the new System Center Advisor limited preview allows you to take advantage of your ops manager environment and the power of big data in the cloud, combining them together, intending to give you operational insights. So let me give you a sneak peek at what it looks like, okay? So I only got about 12 minutes left. I just want to let you know that this is a sneak peek, and we'll have a full hour session on Thursday, which is called Extending Operations Manager R2, which talks about the advisor service in depth. So let me switch to the demo, which 8. Okay, great. So let me bring up the portal. I probably need to do a refresh. Okay, so let's take a look at this. So this is the new advisor portal. It is completely redesigned based on HTML so that you can get a rich and consistent experience when you view it on any device, whether it is mobile, whether it is on tablet, or desktop. Here at the main overview page, you can see a set of tiles that represents specific scenarios. Each of these tiles are actually entry points to what we call an intelligence pack, which knows what data to collect, knows how to analyze and visualize the data once it arrives in the cloud, so that the data would turn into information to address key challenges that you may be facing. They help you be proactive with activities such as capacity planning, system update assessment, or even get malware protection status. Now, you can find more solutions for different problems in the intelligence pack gallery. Okay, and come here and look for the ones that you want. And I've basically added most of the intelligence pack that we have at this point into this account. So once an intelligence pack is added, the collection rules are then automatically applied to your environment, which then would collect the data up into the cloud. Now, inside the experience of each intelligence pack, we provide deeper insights on that particular problem domain. So for example, if we go into capacity, here we can see projection for your infrastructure on-premise. We also gives you information such as virtual to physical, different virtual to physical aspect ratios, projections on individual resources, efficiency measures, and so forth. So let me get back out to the overview page here. Now, one of the most powerful and engaging capability that you'll find in the new advisor is log management. So one gentleman was asking about event correlation. You will find it in here, okay? So log management allows you to basically collect any custom logs that you want. And so let's go into that. The first thing that you'll see in the log management experience is that a breakdown, we give you a breakdown of all of the logs that we're collecting into your advisor account, okay? And to add another custom log that you want to collect from is as simple as clicking the configure tile and enter the log name in here, and as simple as that, and just click save, okay, at the bottom. So what do you do after you have indicated that you want to collect the logs? Well, at the core of the new advisor is our search capability, which allows you to combine and correlate any machine data from multiple sources within your environment in this advisor account. In fact, all the intelligence pack that I was showing you earlier are powered by search to bring you the metrics pivoted around a specific problem area. So let's take a look at how search works. Now, some of the simpler things that you can do is go straight in and look at all the events. And you can quickly see that we give you the distribution of the events that we've collected by time. And we have what we call facets on the right-hand side, which are information that tells you about all of the data that you have searched about and how they were distributed across all of the data that is displaying on there. So I can see that among all 7 million events I have in this environment, I have 97 different event sources, and I am looking at basically 11 different event logs, okay? And other things that you can do in this environment is to apply analytics on top of this data. So one of the simple things I can do is actually group together the events by a particular property. In this case, by event log, which is a property of the event. And we can actually do a count of that for you to tell you how many events are distributed per log, okay? And another thing that you can do is count it by source, for example. And, you know, it just gives you a different count. This is a live account. This is a real account. I have 7.1 million events running in this account. I'm collecting it from 5 different management groups, which are pulling the data in continuously. Did you notice how fast and responsive the entire experience is? We run this service for you, so we will guarantee that responsiveness and latency up in the cloud. With this type of experience, you can now explore data in real time and perform troubleshooting of operational issues just much, much easier. It's just beautiful. Now, on top of this, you can't also just do very simple keyword searches. So for example, I can look for the word started in all of the logs, and boom, it will tell you that among 7 million events, 300,000 of them has this match, and you can open this up and look at the detail of the event in here. We even brings you context of the event in case you don't know what the event is about, and brings you external knowledge about that particular event, and hopefully that will help you in troubleshooting your issues at hand. Finally, one last thing I want to mention here is the feedback button that is very prominently displayed on every page. You and all of the advisor customer together can use this feedback feature to steer how we engineer our product going forward. You no longer have to wait for a beta and wait like half a year before we make an improvement. We update the service every month. Depending on your vote on the feedback site, right? So you can vote on different ideas in here. Depending on your vote, we will act on what you ask for and immediately try to get those improvements out as soon as possible to you. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great ride together where you will feel that you're in a lot more control of how we steer the product. So I have limited time, so I'm going to switch back to the slide right now and just talk a little bit about... And just summarizing what we've just talked about. Again, the new advisor is all about collecting massive amount of data from your environment into a big data store in the cloud so that you can slice and dice those data so that you can explore them in real time to get operational insights. You get pre-assembled intelligence on top of these data as well for things like capacity, update assessment, and you get to suggest to us what you want to look at next. Now, you don't have to take my words for it. In fact, I just want to show you this email that I got last night at 11 p.m. This is from Lawrence. Lawrence is a database administrator at a global law firm, and he and his colleague, Mitch, came by our booth yesterday when we were doing some survey, and when they saw the new advisor experience, they said that they wanted to be onboarded on the spot. So how can we refuse, right? So we onboarded them. It took about 15 minutes. That's all it takes. And right away, Lawrence put it to work, and we were just really glad to see that it helped immediately. So the limited public preview is immediately available right now. There's no cost to participate in the limited preview, but we will serve a limited set of customers on a first-come, first-served basis. That's why it's called a limited preview, okay? We're already seeing a lot of demand for advisor. We will try really hard to accommodate as many customers as possible, but you want to hurry. Again, first-come, first-served basis. Now, for TechEd attendees, I've set up this site called iwantadvisor.com. This is not the official site name, but this is for TechEd attendees only. If you go to this site today, sign up there, we will reserve a spot for you on the limited program for up to 1 week, including the weekends. Okay, that is coming up. So up to 1 week, 7 days, 1 week. So go there, visit that, sign up, and try it out. This is a great opportunity to get in on the action early and provide direct feedback to our team to tailor out the capability that is coming online, an advisor, to your need, okay? Why leave your fate at our hands when you can actually tell us what to do? So that's all I have today. Come to our session. Come to our session on Thursday, okay? This is where you get the full hour demo on what Advisor is about. It is 80% demo. I have very little slide there. We're just going to be all in demoing what Advisor is about. I have barely scratched the surface with the 5 minutes that I have showing you on this forum today. Okay, so I got 30 seconds left. I just want to tell you that you want to come to our Thursday session tomorrow. Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks, Joe. <laughs> 25 seconds left. So it's lunchtime, I think, now. Guys, thank you very much again for coming. We in the product group will hang around, kind of here for questions if you have. But again, thank you very much.